We are reading from the book of Nehemiah chapter 6. If you've got a Bible in front of you, pick it up and use it. Maybe some of you never heard this confession that I made the other time. I said, I don't like using the gadgets to see my Bible. I want to use the Bible itself. If you were not here that day, we went to the Salvation Army. There was a churches together and there were no Bibles around. I picked my phone and tried to get the Bible. It wouldn't come on. Maybe God was saying, keep to the words that you say. Because I say, don't use gadgets. So that day I was using a gadget myself. So it wouldn't come on. So that's why we always prefer, let's use those Bibles. Nehemiah chapter 6. I'll read from verse 1 to 16. If you are there, we will start. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his assistant to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to those reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together. I send him this reply: nothing like that, what you are saying, is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. One day I went to the house of Shemiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in his home. He said, let us meet in the house of the Lord inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away, or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah, Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. May the Lord bless his word. Let's pray together. Father, what joy it brought to the Israelites on that day when Nehemiah completed that wall. The wall that you had instructed him to do. He did it because he knew you were on his side. He didn't look at the community around him who were discouraging him. Father, we also pray with that spirit that let nothing or the community around us discourage us to worship you. Let nothing stand in our way when it comes to worship you. Father, we ask you to open our hearts this morning as we listen to your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Are your ears burning? Are your ears burning? Why? You're not hearing anything. So your ears only burn when you hear something. Oh, that is good. So mine are not burning, so I'm not hearing anything. So I'm asking your ears to start burning now, because I'm going to say something. Yes? Great. Great, great, great. Recently, I think I told you, I joined a group of Basildon street pastors. I want to confess. I joined them with a sinister move. You know, I'm a chaplain. It has been burning in my heart to be a street chaplain. But the doors haven't opened yet. So when I heard street pastors are coming to Basildon, I said, yes, God, you are great. The moment I've been waiting for. So we started, we were inducted 2 weeks ago now, and things are happening on the streets of Basildon, and a lot that I didn't know. I changed my mind because I went there with a different idea. But God wanted me to join others in order to close a gap that is in society. The street pastors, when they first came to this place, to this country, it was in Birmingham. Two pastors in Jamaica came together because Jamaica had become a gang culture society. So for you to survive, you've got to be in a gang. If you're not in a gang, you're out, mate. So these pastors came out with this idea, and street pastors were born. So when they brought this idea to England, it was not well received in Birmingham. Few years later, in 2003, a party took place in Birmingham, and two teenagers, they were gunned down, and about 30 people were injured. This is according to what this book is telling me. So that made me to change my mind, because when I went to street pastors, I had a hidden agenda. But God's agenda was to close the gap in society. So, to cut the long story short, when this happened in Birmingham, those authorities who had shunned down the idea of street pastors when a roadshows were organized to show people what's happening in other places, why the need of street pastors. After only this incident, they scrambled around to try and look for those people who had done those roadshows. And only then, street pastors were born in Birmingham. Isn't that great? But I'm not saying this because I want you to be a street pastor. No. I'm only preaching this because this book that I was given on our day of induction changed my way of thinking. Because when I went there, I had hidden agenda. I wanted to spearhead my street chaplains within the street pastors. But God's idea was not that. So this book has made me to change my mind. Maybe it might help to change yours as well, if you read it. May I have... My theme today is closing the gap. When you put those puzzles together nicely, that gap will close. But that gap is actually happening right now where you live. Someone has got to be in action to close the gap. Yes? I just want to bring this to you. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus talks about his sheep hearing his voice and follow him. As we continue with this story in Nehemiah, we are his sheep. We hear his voice and we will follow him. Nehemiah was a governor in Judea under Ectesis, the king. The point I want to make this morning is that Nehemiah was not a priest. He was a governor. Completely different field. But he listened to what God was saying to him. So please, this morning I'm saying, do you hear Jesus' voice? Are you going to follow him? Tell your neighbor that I hear Jesus' voice and I'll follow him. Tell your neighbor, the one who is sitting next to you. Say, I hear Jesus' voice, I'll follow him. Yes, you hear Jesus' voice. Are you going to follow him? I hear Jesus' voice. I'm going to follow him. So we are going to close the gap. Let's follow Nehemiah's ideas here. He resolved. What did he resolve after hearing what was happening around him? No gap. You remember what we do with the children. This side had a gap, but that side had no gap. Nehemiah made sure there was no gap in the wall. Because if there is a gap on the wall, there's weakness. What other thing he looked at? Withstanding rumors. Children of God mustn't stand for rumors. Rumors, they destroy. He overcame them. Discernment. As children of God, we need discernment. Nehemiah did that. Nehemiah, as he was going through, he stood by what he believed in. He didn't even give in to what was going up around. So in closing the gap, this is what he did. His enemies had schemes. They actually tried to pull him from the community that he knew so that they can kill him. We read that. The Bible says so. It said, they send a word. Say, come, let's meet and discuss. Meanwhile, they had hidden agendas. There's some people there with hidden agendas about your life because you are a Christian. Don't give up because of them. Do even more than what you are doing now. Nehemiah stood firm because he believed the Lord was on his side. He didn't give in to what was being said. So this morning also, this is also what I'm asking you. Remain steadfast. Stand firm in what you believe. If you are hearing Jesus' voice today, follow him and do what he wants to do. John 10 verse 16, it talks about this. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why Jesus wants us to close the gap in our lives today. Because there are other sheep there. There are other sheep that needs to be in the flock. They are not in yet. But we are always thinking of preaching. I've mentioned to you about street pastors. What you see during the night there, ladies and gentlemen, they are educated people sleeping rough. Last week at the Salvation Army, there's this guy called James. He came out. The way he was talking about the Bible, the history, not only of Europe, even Africa. He knows things like Mugabe that I didn't know myself. He was mentioning the Zimbabwean president like he has lived with him. He said, so, where is the society? He referred to himself now. Here I am. What is happening? We had no answer to that. To make it worse, when we were going on our street patrols, we left him still sleeping outside. But in my mind, I was saying, surely, why can't we leave him in this building whilst we patrol? But that's not under my jurisdiction. So we left him still outside. But surely, my conscience were wrestling with me. This is not right. This is not right. There's fear in society. I was talking to Peter and Mariah the other day in the Bible study. Say, someone, a beggar comes to your house. Are you going to take him in your house? Mariah said, I would. Peter said, no. He didn't mean his words. He said, no. Because we live in fear. You don't. But others live in fear, Mariah. We are not all the same. Others live in fear. But isn't that gap we are creating in society? Fear. But when we read this book, it tells us in Isaiah, I will stand with you. Fear not, I will be with you. But do we take it face value when we read it? Or is it just for reading purposes? Let's take away fear like Nehemiah did. Because Nehemiah took the fear away. He knew there was a gap in society. Like that was not enough. Nehemiah did this. There were rumors. So, he took away the fears. Don't be a Geshem. What was Geshem trying to do here? It is reported among the nations that Geshem says it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt and therefore you are building the wall. This was a lie. Geshem was spreading rumors. And there's something that I liked about rumors. First of all, You should use discernment when you hear rumors. Right? Rumor mongering. It's not to be among the children of God, is it? Yes? But let's go to Proverbs 20, verse 19. What does Solomon say? Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. There's a warning. What does Moses say in Exodus 23? I'll read that to you. I didn't put it up there purposely because I wanted to read it to you so that it sticks in your ears. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. As children of God, we are not to spread rumors. We don't want to be like Geshem, who was spreading false rumors about what Nehemiah was doing, when at the back of his mind he knew Nehemiah was doing what God has sent him to do. So, after hearing a rumor, think. What does the word think stands for? It stands for this. T. Is this true what I'm hearing? H. Is it helpful? I. Is this inspiring? N. Is it necessary? And K. Is it kind? Think before you take that rumor to the next person. But before you even do that, the Bible doesn't allow you to do gossiping anyway. So why are you involved in that? Solomon has told us, avoid such lips that talks about rumor mongering. Think. Rumors finish us off, especially those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is what the Lord says in Isaiah 41 verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we read these words, do they stay with us? Or it's just the purpose of reading and we don't follow what the Bible is saying? Think when you hear rumors. What I've heard, is it true? Is it helpful for the next person I'm going to tell this? Is it inspiring? Is it really necessary? If it's not necessary, stop it. Keep it in your mouth. Is it kind? If it is, then tell the next person. Nehemiah didn't stop there. There was intimidation we had there. They were trying to intimidate him so that he could give up the building of the wall. He said, come, let's go together. We can talk. And he said, no, I'm not going to leave the Lord's work to come and entertain you, Lord. I've got a task to do. And he remained steadfast. He remained resolute to do what the Lord has asked him to do. He didn't give in to intimidation. We sometimes give in to intimidation. Well, don't misquote me to think I'm a politician, right? What is happening in Labour these days? I watch the news like you do. The Labour Party said, no, you are no longer fit to be a leader. We wonder the leaders, some of his members of parliament revolted against him. Surely, with your conscience, I told you I'm not a politician, but I want you to use your common sense. If people say they no longer want you, what do you do? If people say they no longer want you, what do? You resign. But I suspect Jerome Corbyn has got such an intimidating presence when he's there, people sort of cower. Did you see the unions were also demonstrating in his favor? That's what intimidation can do to you. Political parties, when they are campaigning for elections, not in this country, there is a lot of intimidation. But in this country, there's intimidation as well. Why am I saying so? When the leaders are campaigning, they rubbish the other leader. That's not campaigning. Talk about what you're going to do, not what the other person is going to do. You don't know what's in his mind. But they'll always say, oh, this leader is going to do this, this, this. That's intimidating other people. Nehemiah didn't give in to intimidation because he knew how to approach his enemies. truly speaking, we hear that Nehemiah went to the house of the person who wanted to kill him. Surely, if you have heard that someone wants to kill you, will you go to their house? But Nehemiah used discernment. He said, the Lord is with me. I will go and speak to him. But he was asked to go to the temple. He said, no, I'm not going to go to the temple. You know, those days, only priests were allowed in the temple. If you are not a priest, if you go in the temple, you will die. There's a king who went in the temple forcefully and he had leprosy. So Nehemiah used that discernment because he knew the Lord's word. So he went to the person who wanted to kill him, his house, to discuss. He stood firm. Put your trust in God. Do we put our trust in God or we don't? Someone was telling me an analogy of a tree. You see those big trees standing in front of the church? How many of you here have been coming to this church for so many years? Put your hands up. Those who have been coming to this church for so many years, put your hands up. Okay, you can put your hands down. Right. We've been doing some working parties in this place. Who of you have ever watered those trees? Those big trees? The two? Have you? No, no. No, no, no. We did some work, but anyone who has watered them, I think they've been 100 years. How many of you have watered those big trees? No, no, those two big trees. It's three. All right, yeah, three of them. Who of you has watered them? Not even a single person. But they've been here for 100 years. They've been here for 100 years. Look at your flowers that you have around here. I see Linda always with a watering cane to make sure they don't die. Our own things, they trust in us so they die. But those that trust in God, they don't. Those plants stand there 100 years or more standing there. They put their trust in God. So what about you who is made in the image of God? What does that Proverbs 3 verse 5 say to you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. This is Nehemiah. This is what he is teaching us this morning. Trust in God. Nothing else. You cannot do it on your own. Trust in God. I find a lot of Christians, they discourage me these days. They are driven by fear and intimidation. Get rid of that fear and intimidation. Trust in the Lord. Stand firm and make your enemies lose their confidence. As Nehemiah did in Nehemiah 6 verse 16 there. As we finish, this is what I want to say to you. Think and help to close the gap in society like the street pastors did in Birmingham. I'm not asking you to be a street pastor this morning, but I'm only giving an analogy that they came in together because they saw a need in society. There was a gap developing in that society. We need to close the gap together. Jesus wants the other sheep, not yet in the flock, to come in so he can shepherd all. Close the gap. What are you waiting for? Be a Nehemiah, not a Geshem. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that you are a graceful God. You are a loving, kind God. You don't let us astray. You have given Nehemiahs amongst us, even though they have other things to do, but they have listened to your voice because they saw a gap developing. They want to close that gap. So, Father, help us to ourselves that there are gaps in our lives. Jesus wants us to close those gaps. So, Lord, as we go to our different ways in our lives this week, we want to commit each and everyone in your hands. That spirit of Nehemiah, of getting rid of fear, intimidation, let it also build in us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. May some